Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us today is our newest orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Benjamin Wilkie with Iowa Ortho. I do have some announcements that I would like to share before we get started. We are very excited to welcome Mercy One Iowa Heart to Van Deest Medical Center as of Monday of this week. Mercy One Iowa Heart is now seeing patients in their new location at our hospital on a full-time basis. The Iowa Heart Cardiology Clinic will have services provided by cardiologists from both Ames and Des Moines. Their office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Patients can schedule appointments and contact their office by calling 515-574-8700. In addition to cardiac-related consult and follow-up appointments, Mercy One Iowa Heart will offer echocardiograms, EP device checks, nuclear cardiac stress tests, and their nuclear camera has been moved to provide nuclear cardiology imaging as well. Patients with appointments at the new Iowa Heart Cardiology Clinic in our hospital are directed to use the emergency department entrance to access their registration desk. Assistance will be available with wayfinding. Also, to the ladies out there, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Call Van Deest Family Health Clinic here in Webster City at 515-832-7800 to schedule your mammogram today. Women who schedule their mammogram during the month of October or November will be entered to win a gift basket. And I should mention, you will also receive a 20% off coupon to use at the gift shop at Van Deest Medical Center when you schedule your mammogram. And speaking of the gift shop will be open this Saturday, October 26th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Stop out, take a look around. They also have their nut sales available for the holidays. They will be open some additional Saturdays and Sundays as we get into the holiday season, but they will be open definitely this Saturday, again, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I also want to mention it is Medicare open enrollment period right now. We have our volunteership counselors who are reviewing plans. Those are the Part D prescription drug plans. If you have questions about your plan, you can certainly call the SHIP phone line. You can leave your name and a phone number. The number to call is 515-832-7769. And I do want to mention to those who have submitted their paperwork, be patient. Our counselors are reviewing those plans and they will contact you. But again, if you do have a question, we want to make sure that you know you can call their helpline. That number again is 515-832-7769. Lastly, I want to mention, come down and see us at the Downtown Trick-or-Treat event. We will be there Thursday, October 31st from 3:30 to 5:30, downtown Webster City in costumes, and we're hoping for a great turnout and a really nice day, so we hope to see you there. And now into our program. As I mentioned, Dr. Benjamin Wilkie, who is a new orthopedic surgeon with Iowa Ortho, is joining us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Wilkie.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Let listeners know your background, your education.
Sure. So born and raised in Fort Dodge, and after graduating from St. Edmunds, I went down to the University of Iowa, where I completed my undergraduate training. I then went out of state for the next several years. I went to Missouri for medical school, and then Mayo Clinic Rochester for orthopedic residency, and spent the last 8 years down in Florida. I was on staff at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, taking care of people. And we decided to move back home, just be a little bit closer to family, and are just starting back up here.
Fantastic. I did learn early on that you were from the area, and were raised in Fort Dodge, at least. So it's kind of a welcoming home.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Excited to be back.
Very good. So did you know at an early age that you wanted to go into healthcare, that you wanted to go into orthopedics, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so my oldest brother and I are both physicians. We didn't have anyone in our family that were physicians growing up, but just kind of growing up, I knew I wanted to try to help people. And from an early age, I would say I have always kind of in the back of my mind wanted to be a doctor. I got one of my grandparents, both my grandparents were pretty mechanically oriented, so I got to grow up, you know, working out on the farm or, mm-hmm. you know, working in the wood shop with my other grandpa. And so became much more mechanically inclined, and I think that kind of drew me to orthopedics then once I got into medical school. And so it's been a pretty natural fit for me.
Excellent. You mentioned you had done some training in Rochester, Minnesota at Mayo Clinic, and then you had some years of experience on staff with Mayo Clinic in Florida. And this is some extensive training that you have done prior to joining IO Ortho. Talk a little bit more about some of your work in each of those locations, if you would.
Yeah, so Mayo Clinic Rochester was obviously a great experience. It was it's obviously one of the top places, not only for just medicine, but also for orthopedics in general. So I got to learn from some of the best, you know, surgeons all over the world. They'd, you know, come and travel to Rochester. So that was it was a great learning experience for me. I still have a lot of great connections, a lot of great mentors up there. Went down and did fellowship in orthopedic oncology, which is a fairly small subset of orthopedics. There's only about 200 orthopedic oncologists in the country. Now two in the state of Iowa. So there's one over at University of Iowa and then now myself in Des Moines. That along with my primary practice is hip and knee replacements. And so down in Jacksonville, I was probably about 80% hip and knee replacements and then about 20% oncology. Probably be about the same up here. For the joint replacements, I do both what we call primary, so kind of the first-time joint replacement, as well as some of the more difficult revisions. You know, we were a tertiary referral center, so I got to take care of, you know, from all over the Southeast, some of the most complex cases, and I'm happy to be able to, you know, offer the same services in kind of in the Des Moines area and up here too.
Very good. Now, with specifically with your hip replacement surgeries, you do the anterior approach, correct?
Correct, yep. So that's one of the newer things that we learned basically kind of after residency. A lot of people are switching to what's called the direct anterior approach. That has a lot of benefits with the recovery time postoperatively, so you don't have to cut through the muscles and the capsule, the posterior capsule like you do with the older style of doing the hip replacements. So a lot of patients will nowadays come in and go home the same day. The vast majority of my patients are doing joint replacements. It's an outpatient procedure for them. They still have a recovery time in, you know, at home, but we actually published a study looking at patients that had a posterior hip on one side, then they mm-hmm. had the direct anterior on the other side, and overwhelmingly the preference from those patients was going to the direct anterior approach. It's a very precise surgery. It's, you know, it's a much more minimally invasive compared to the older style, and then patients recover a lot faster too.
Right. And that is the part that I would think most patients are most interested in, because right. I do think, and you would know better than I, but I do think that's the part that keeps people from getting these surgeries done or puts them off. They just keep pushing them off because of the time it's going to take for recovery.
Well, not only that, but then also the postoperative restrictions. So with the older style of doing the hip replacement, the posterior approach, you have to be careful where you're putting your hip. You know, you can't cross your legs, you can't bend over too far. With the direct anterior, you don't have any restrictions. So I'd say come in and go home, you do whatever you want to do. You know, you're at a much, much lower risk of dislocation than you are with the, you know, posterior approach. So I think it has a lot of benefits for patients.
I think so too. So are you doing exclusively the anterior approach, or are there some patients that maybe aren't candidates for the anterior?
Pretty much. I would say, so coming out of residency training, I was going to be a posterior hip surgeon, then switched to the direct anterior and have not looked back. Mm-hmm. Out of my primary, my first time hip replacements, I would say I am 99% direct anterior. There are, for revision surgery, so going, you know, doing the multiply revised ones, usually we're going through the old incision, and that usually makes us have to do the posterior approach. Yep. So the primary surgeries, yes, almost exclusively direct anterior. There's really no, with the exception of significant bone loss or hip dysplasia, some of these complex things that would not fit with most patients, there's really very few indications that I would say you are not a candidate for direct anterior.
Great to know. That's actually a question I had. If somebody had had a previous hip replacement and it was done posterior, whether they are a candidate for a direct anterior approach if they need
Not typically. And the reason is you don't really gain the benefit of the direct anterior approach because somebody has already gone through those posterior capsules and the damage is already done, so to speak. So we go through the old scar tissue plane. If you go through an anterior approach now you've taken down both the posterior and the anterior capsule. So not a lot of, to my knowledge, no one really is doing that, switching to direct anterior, because you don't gain the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. But if you have a direct anterior and for some reason you need a revision, then yes, you could go through the direct anterior again.
Excellent. And we're excited because you're going to be doing these replacement surgeries here at Van Deest Medical Center. And we were just talking about that before the show. We're getting some scheduled now, so excited to be doing them here in Webster City.
Yeah, I think Webster City has a nice setup for being able to do this and offer patients physical therapy immediately on site here before they go home. So I think that it'll be a nice addition to the practice here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's amazing to me, in just the short time that I have been here, the changes in orthopedics. I mean, to hear that a joint replacement surgery now can even be considered an outpatient surgery and the patient could go home the same day, that's just amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, orthopedics is moving very, very rapidly. I mean, most medicine is nowadays, mm-hmm. but I graduated residency or fellowship 8 years ago. The vast majority of my practice today is not, I'm not doing things that I learned in residency because we've moved beyond that. And you have to be able to continue to move beyond that. Otherwise, you get stuck and you offer things that, you're offering kind of dated options to patients, which nobody wants. Mm-hmm. So I think that orthopedics is a very exciting specialty with the addition of robotics and augmented reality and things like that that are coming down the pipeline for enhancing these surgeries. And I think it's only going to continue to speed up. So you have to be willing to modify and continue to learn.
Right. And stay innovative. I mean, that's what we find with healthcare too. You need to be current because as we change and evolve, and people are looking for that when it comes to their health, to their bodies, mm-hmm. We're aging, we're living longer though, and people will seek out, the latest and the greatest in those advancements. So I think especially you do see those in orthopedics. So it is very exciting.
Absolutely. I have people routinely that are coming in now that they know, that I offer the direct anterior down at Iowa Ortho, routinely coming in asking, saying specifically that they sought out somebody that would do a direct anterior approach. So mm-hmm. I think that it helps the patients. It's an offering that, not a lot of people in Iowa otherwise could have had prior.
Right. How about with your knee replacement surgeries?
So knee replacements, there have been some advancements in mm-hmm. that. Some of the main ones that we're doing nowadays, we're doing a lot of robotic knee replacements. And the benefits with the, we specifically have the Mako robot at Iowa Ortho. So that's a Stryker. Stryker's one of the orthopedic companies. It offers a very more precise way to put the implants in compared to kind of the older manual way of doing the knee replacements. Essentially how it works is you get a CT scan before surgery. The robot you put that CT scan into the computer, and so the robot knows exactly what your anatomy is. And then during the surgery, you can balance the knee very precisely. So if somebody has any deformities or old fractures and things like that, you can easily accommodate for those and just make sure that they get almost like a very personalized joint replacement, much more so than what we were able to do with the manual instruments even like just 10 years ago. In addition to that, we're now switching to more press-fit implants that have biological ingrowth compared to some of the older cemented style implants. And then we're going away from tourniquets too, which were, we think, a lot of the cause for some of the immediate postoperative pain. So my go-to knee replacement is basically a tourniquet-less press-fit robotic total knee. Very different from even 8 years ago when I was in training.
Yeah, I love that, hearing that it's almost individualized for the patient.
Very much so, mm-hmm. Yep. And that's probably one of the biggest things that's happening. If you look at, if you go to all the meetings, the American Academy of Hip and Knee Surgeons and American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery, everybody's talking about the, you know, we call it kinematic approach and different alignment strategies based on the individual. Versus the older way of doing things was you just basically made a perpendicular cut and balanced the knee that way. And 20% of those patients were not happy with their joint replacement after surgery. And that was shown time and time and time again in studies. So we're doing a lot of things to try to improve that, try to improve patient outcomes.
Well, I love that you're sharing this and love that we are able to offer these services here. For those that are listening out there and suffering with sore joints and putting something off, they need to be tuning in and knowing that we've got these services right here at Van Deese Medical Center. So terrific. I also want to spend a little bit of time talking about your orthopedic oncology, and you mentioned it. You and one other physician, there are two physicians in the state of Iowa that offer this subspecialty. Talk about what that part of your practice looks like and the types of conditions you treat and the patients you see within.
Yep. So orthopedic oncology is kind of a wide spectrum. We get a lot of just lumps and bumps and odd things that people incidentally find on x-rays, all the way up to a sarcoma, which is a cancer of the soft tissues. So we do a lot of reassurance, thankfully, with the lumps and bumps, but we'll take care of, you know, if somebody has a lipoma or just a little lump and bump here, instead of sending them to the plastic surgeon, they send them to the orthopedic oncologist. We take care of those things. So it is a broad spectrum, mm-hmm. and one of the things I like about it is no two patients are the same. It's, you know, hip and knee replacement, you're doing a lot of the same surgery. With the orthopedic oncology side of things, especially if in the sarcoma world or the soft tissue cancer world, mm-hmm. you're basically devising a plan that's individualized for that patient in terms of how you need to take that cancer out with still giving them the best reconstructive options and best overall long-term function. So it is a very personalized approach, and we obviously meet those patients and, you know, take care of those patients for a long time. So we get to establish a very good relationship mm-hmm. with those patients. So that's one of the reasons, two of the reasons, I guess, that really drove me into the orthopedic oncology realm.
Yeah, well, that is kind of nice because it allows you within your practice to have those different relationships with the patients that you see.
Yep. Yeah, it is. I love the joint replacement patients. They're almost universally happy. And the orthopedic oncology patients, like, you can really, but if you look at, like, how you can really affect somebody's life, the orthopedic oncology patients, a lot of times you can cure somebody of cancer if you're able, you know, with these localized sarcomas. And like that's just a whole different level compared to, you know, the joint replacement side mm-hmm. of things. In terms of how you can affect their life.
Oh, absolutely. So with your orthopedic oncology patients, is that typically a referral that's done, like, through another physician?
We get a lot of patients. The sarcoma patients typically come in through, like, the medical oncologist or radiation oncologist. So those will typically be filtered in that way. A lot of the lumps and bumps and things like that, and the incidental findings on x-rays, that they get a weird x-ray mm-hmm. finding, they just want somebody to take a look at it. Those are a lot of times coming in either through primary care providers or other orthopedic surgeons are getting those x-rays and then sending them over. So different referral patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we should touch upon too, as far as the hip and knee, the joint work that you do, and it's not just joint work, so I shouldn't say that. Are those typically referrals that come from a primary care physician, or can a patient actually seek out?
Well, we get a lot of self-referral patients, yeah. So I get a lot of patients that will look up, like we were talking about with the direct anterior approach, mm-hmm. they'll look up and see who does them, and they'll, you know, find my name, and then they'll call in and make an appointment. So I would say it's probably about 50-50 versus, you know, self-referral versus referred patients from other providers.
Okay, great. Great information to share. So the demographics of the patients you see, is there an age range?
For the oncology patients, I'll see kids all the way, you know, all the way through adults. For joint replacement patients, usually that's all your adults. Mm-hmm. On occasion, you'll get younger patients that have had sickle cell or avascular necrosis that you're talking about a joint replacement at a younger age. But that's kind of few and far between in terms of, you know, what our volumes are.
Sure, unique circumstances there.
Correct. Yep.
For sure. So, if I were to ask what your practice philosophy is, what's important for patients to know about you and how you practice, what would you share?
Well, I think that, you know, I see my goal is not necessarily trying to talk somebody into surgery. My goal is to give them the options, let them decide. Everything I offer to my patients, I would feel comfortable offering to my own family members. And that's how I would want my family members treated. And certainly that's how I'm going to try to treat somebody else's family members. And I think that's served me well, you know, down at Mayo, Florida, that served me well, that philosophy served me well. So I kind of take the same, you know, the same philosophy that Mayo has kind of instilled in me over the last like 13 years and just brought that into my practice up here. I think that will work well.
I think so too. And that means so much, you know, to people in the Midwest, family oriented. I too, just with different appointments, even with my parents, if we've gone to specialists or something, that's usually what I'm asking is, if this were your family member, what would you recommend for your family member? So I love that that is how you view it with your patients too.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
Here in Webster City, Dr. Wilkie sees patients on Mondays. Right now, he's just started this month, coming the first and third Mondays of each month. And your time is spent between clinic doing consults with patients and then obviously in the OR for procedures and surgeries. You talked a little bit about the timeline. So for those joint replacement surgeries, what does that process look like for most patients then?
Well, I think when I see patients up here, what I will do is I'll probably have an OR day one of those days, and then a clinic day the other. So, you know, operating one day a month, clinic the other. And so I'll see patients if they're candidates for surgery that time, then we'll see what time our next available OR day is for them. They would have to obviously be cleared by their medical provider. So it'd be a couple steps before that, but then we'd operate on them, and then I would see them back at that next visit, which would be about 2 weeks, for their post-operative wound check, so we could take a look at their wounds and things from there, their incisions and things like that.
Very good. And in the meantime, obviously, if there's something their primary care physician, their provider can check with them on things, they would be no doubt doing some therapy in there, but...
Absolutely. Yep. Doing some of the non-operative treatment options up until, you know, up until they have their surgery.
Very good. So this is just kind of a general question just to throw out there. What would you offer as advice to listeners about taking care of themselves, taking care of their joints as they age?
Well, I think that a lot of patients come in with the misconception that they can't do things they like to do. They can't go out and run. They can't, you know, do some of these higher level activities because they're going to hurt their joint. I don't like telling people that they can't do anything. I think it's all about moderation. So, you know, I have a lot of runners that have bad knees, and I don't want to sit there and tell them, well, you can no longer do the activity you love. I'll say, well, why don't you cross train? Why don't you, you know, run one day, ride a bike the next day, swim if you have access to a pool, things like that. So I don't set guardrails and sit there and say, absolutely not for this. We're just going to try to devise a plan that works for you. You can still do your activities, but you're not completely just damaging and hurting your knee every single time you do it. So I think stay active. You know, if it's more of a high impact activity, do it in moderation. Yep, exactly. And, you know, there are anti-inflammatory medications and things like that you can kind of pre-medicate yourself with, and ice the knee after or ice the hip afterwards. And, I think that a lot of people are fairly successful with that, and they're still able to do things they enjoy.
Very good. I'm hearing it. I love this message. Stay active. Keep moving. That's what we hear. And I second that. So I love you sharing that with our listeners. Any other information that you'd like to share with listeners today?
I think that I'm just, you know, very much looking forward to being up here. I think I can offer several great things to the Webster City and surrounding community. And, Vandy East has been a wonderful center. I've been lucky to be here at so far. And I think this will work out well. It'll be a nice addition to the community.
Absolutely. I am so excited to have just even another arm of orthopedics here. We have Dr. Shumway, who is a hand specialist from Iowa Ortho, and we have Dr. Rosenthal, who is a spine specialist and also from Iowa Ortho coming. And so I love that we're going to be bringing hip and knee replacements, your specialty here. It's exciting, and we're thrilled to have the specialists that we do. When Dr. Wilkie is not here at Van Diest, he is seeing patients in Des Moines. In fact, we're getting this program in, and he's headed back to see patients in Des Moines. So again, thrilled to have you here joining us and offering these services.
Well, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to being up here.
Yes. So when you're not seeing patients, I know you're a new dad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What is it you enjoy doing in your free time?
Well, right now it is chasing our kids. So we have, we went from 2 to 3, so we went to zone coverage now.
I like it.
So we have 3 little girls. All 3 of them, all 3 are under 4 right now. So now we've been just kind of busy playing with our kids, taking them around. This is their first fall because we didn't really have fall in Florida. So going to a lot of apple orchards and pumpkin patches and things like that. So that takes up most of my time right now.
Yeah, that is perfect. It will be fun for your family and your kids to experience the seasons.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we haven't had snow for 8 years. So having our kids be able to go sledding, I think will be fun for them.
Get ready. That will be fun. Well, wonderful. Dr. Wilkie, thank you so much for being on the program today. Again, I want to share with listeners, Dr. Wilkie is seeing patients the first and third Mondays of each month in our specialty clinic department. If you have questions or would like to schedule an appointment, you can call 515-832-7746. Again, thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Very good. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Diest Medical Center, where our focus is you.